It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Well, Connie Stanfield joins us today, and this is lesson number 52. And Connie, what will we be learning about today?
Well, we have a long chapter about Esau's descendants.
All right. And it's important that we look at these names, and it's also important that I pronounce them, and I'm going to get through them the best that I can here. Mm-hmm. So starting in Genesis chapter 36, verse 1, these are the generations of Esau, that is Edom. Esau took his wives from the Canaanites. Ada, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, Oholibamah, the daughter of Anah, and the daughter of Zibeon the Hivite, and Basemath, Ishmael's daughter, the sister of Nebaioth. And Ada bore to Esau Eliphaz. Basemath bore Reuel, and Oholibamah bore Jeush, Jalam, and Korah. These are the sons of Esau who were born to him in the land of Canaan. Then Esau took his wives, his sons, his daughters, and all the members of his household, his livestock, and all his beasts, and all his property that he had acquired in the land of Canaan. He went to a land away from his brother Jacob, for their possessions were too great for them to dwell together. The land of their sojournings could not support them because of all their livestock. So Esau settled in the hill country of Seir. Esau is Edom. These are the generations of Esau, the father of the Edomites in the hill country of Seir. These are the names of Esau's sons. Eliphaz, the son of Ada, the wife of Esau. Reuel, the son of Basemath, the wife of Esau. The sons of Eliphaz were Teman, Omar, Zepho, Gatam, and Kenaz. Timnah was a concubine of Eliphaz, Esau's son. She bore Amalek to Eliphaz. These are the sons of Ada, Esau's wife. And these are the sons of Reuel, Naneth, Zerah, Shammah, and Mizah. These are the sons of Basemath, Esau's wife. These are the sons of Oholibamah, the daughter of Anah, the daughter of Zibeon, Esau's wife. She bore to Esau Jeush, Jalam, and Korah. These are the chiefs of the son of Esau, the sons of Eliphaz, the firstborn of Esau, the chiefs of Teman, Omar, Zepho, Kenaz, Korah, Gatam, and Amalek. These are the chiefs of Eliphaz in the land of Edom. These are the sons of Ada, and these are the sons of Reuel, Esau's son, the chiefs Nahath, Zerah, Shammah, and Mizah. These are the chiefs of Reuel in the land of Edom. These are the sons of Basemath, Esau's wife. These are the sons of Oholibamah, Esau's wife, the chiefs Jeush, Jalam, and Korah. These are the chiefs born to Oholibamah, the daughter of Anah, Esau's wife. And these are the sons of Esau, that is Edom, and these are their chiefs.
Thank you, Amy. What we need to really look at is just some summary things and come to understand why perhaps God would have included this account in Scripture. Starting in verse 1, it says, these are the generations of Esau. We've seen that many times here in Genesis, and it really means this is what became of Esau, the children that came from him. And we find that he took wives from the Canaanites. We've talked about that before. And then it mentions three women elsewhere in two other accounts in Genesis. We've got a different name, Judith, in there. And so it's a little bit confusing, not sure if he had three wives or four wives or more than that. And maybe some of the women actually had more than one wife. Maybe perhaps some of the women had more than one name. Not sure, but it's a little unclear exactly who he was married to. This clearly lists who their sons were. Mm-hmm. And the important thing, of course, is that he had five sons, and that from them came 14 chieftains mm-hmm. who are going to be princes or rulers in the land. And so we have God fulfilling that prophecy that two nations are in Rebekah's womb, and from that those two sons are going to come nations and companies of nations. Also interesting to note that God made sure that Esau didn't dwell right next to Jacob. That seems to be God's plan because we find in verses 6 and 7 that Esau left Canaan and went to Seir, the area of the Dead Sea. And it really reminds us again of how Lot and Abram separated because there were too many of them. They couldn't dwell together. Their land couldn't support them all. We also know that this area that Esau went to, Seir, was a hilly country, and it wasn't as fertile and good for livestock and all, as was Canaan itself. Mm-hmm. And so it's a less desirable area. And we find that fulfills also God's prophecy to that was the blessing of Isaac, saying that he was going to dwell apart from fertileness and he was going to have to live by his sword. And we find as we go through this that he was probably a man of the sword, because he came to conquer the peoples that were in that area and become the predominant power. All in all, we find God is blessing Esau. He has a plan and purpose for him. And we also find in Scripture that Esau was given this land, because both in Deuteronomy and in Joshua, it talks about how God says he gave that land to Esau. And remember, Esau, Hairy, sounds like Seir. And then Edom means red. And so his country is going to be called red, because remember, he was the red man who liked the red stew.
All right.
So anyway, we're going to read the rest of the chapter because there are more names.
All right. More names. Bear with me, folks. Genesis 36, which starting in verse 20, these are the sons of Seir, the Horite, the inhabitants of the land: Lotan, Shobel, Zibeon, Enai, Dishon, Ezer, and Dishan. These are the chiefs of the Horites, the son of Seir, in the land of Edom. The sons of Lotan were Hori and Hamam, and Lotan's sister was Timnah. These are the sons of Shobal: Alvan, Menabheth, Ebal, Shepho, and Onam. These are the sons of Zibeon: Ai and Ana. He is the Ana who found the hot springs in the wilderness as he pastured the donkeys of Zibeon, his father. These are the children of Ana: Dishan and Oholabama, the daughter of Ana. These are the sons of Dishan: Hemdan, Eshban, Ithran, and Sharon. These are the sons of Ezar: Bilhan, Zavan, and Ekan. These are the sons of Dishan: Uz and Aaron. These are the chiefs of the Horites, the chiefs of Lotan, Shobal, Zibeon, Ana, and Dishan. Ezar and Dishan, these are the chiefs of the Horites, chief by chief in the land of Seir. These are the kings who reigned in the land of Edom before any king reigned over the Israelites. Bela, the son of Beor, reigned in Edom, the city being Dinhaba. Bela died, and Joab, the son of Zerah of Bozrah, reigned in his place. Joab died, and Husham, of the land of the Temanites, reigned in his place. Husham died, and Hadad, son of Bedad, who defeated Midian in the country of Moab, reigned in his place, the name of his city being Avith. Hadad died, and Samla of Masrekah reigned in his place. Samla died, and Shaul of Rehoboth of the Euphrates reigned in his place. Shaul died, and Baal-Hanan, the son of Achbor, reigned in his place. Baal-Hanan, the son of Achbor, died, and Hadar reigned in his place, the name of his city being Pau. His wife's name was Mehetabel, the daughter of Matred, the daughter of Mezahab. These are the names of the chiefs of Esau, according to their clans and their dwelling places, by their names: the chiefs Timnah, Alva, Japheth, Oholabama, Elah, Pinon, Kenaz, Temnan, Mibzar, Magdiel, and Iram. These are the chiefs of Edom, that is Esau, the father of Edom, according to their dwelling places in the land of their possession.
Thanks again, Amy. We just need to summarize and kind of maybe pull out some of what would be important points from here. This last part was talking about seven generations of kings who ruled the land, and we find that the Horite, Seir the Horite, is mentioned, and he was the original inhabitant there, and then Esau moved in, and so there was kind of a coexistence. But because of the way the chapter is structured, we really come to understand that Esau and his descendants came to dominate, So they are the rulers of this area. And definitely by the time that Israel's coming back into the land, it is definitely Edom. And unfortunately, we're going to find that Israel and Edom are usually at war with one another. And something I forgot to mention when we were reading the earlier part in verse 12, it talks about Amalek being a grandson of Esau. The Amalekites were terrible enemies of Israel. And actually, they're the first ones who attacked Israel in the wilderness. And so they came on, you know, they attacked the tail. They went for the weak people, and they were not forgiven by God for that. God told Israel that they were to wipe out the Amalekites for that and other things.
There are quite a few names that I recognized as well, and that being one of them. And I know that will unfold as time goes on here.
Right. And so this is important to Israel because this is their history, and this is the history of people near them, and it's the history of a descendant of Abraham, but a family of Abraham that's gone in its own way and hasn't really been faithful. We just need to also understand one more thing, and that is it talks about these kings reigned in the land of Eden. This is verse 31, before any king reigned over the Israelites. Yes. And it's a prophecy that one day there will be a king in Israel. And as Moses wrote this, he was probably given divine revelation that there would be kings in Israel. And so it's important. Amazing. It just seems a little bit, the names are hard for us, but it reminds us that God is working in and through every life to accomplish his purpose. So that wraps up today's lesson in Genesis. Please go and find the notes on naomistable.com.